The Richest Man in Britain by Nick Hornby and Giles Smith. Episode 6, The Meltdown.
Hello, Dave.
John. Hang on a sec.
That's better. We can hear each other now.
How's it going down there?
Oh, you know, the usual. Those ones with the big plumed hats.
The Cavaliers?
Yeah, them. They're getting whipped by the ones with the round hats.
The Roundheads.
Roundheads? Really? That's a coincidence, isn't it? Because they actually look like they've got round heads. Do you get it?
Well, history is full of turn-ups like that.
I'll say. Although this battle never seems to throw up any surprises. Same outcome every week.
But that's the thing about reenactments, Dave. They try to reenact what originally happened. It's living history.
Not living enough for me. I could do with a bit more variety.
Not taking part yourself this time?
Nah, I'm still carrying a bit of a niggle from last time, to be honest.
Yes. The incident with the pikestaff.
It wasn't funny, Dom.
I'm not laughing.
You get one of those pikestaffs, catch you a blow across the knees, you know all about it.
To be fair, it was your own pikestaff.
They're very hard to swing. Anyway, you get a better view from up here. When you're down there in the heat of battle with your helmet on, it's a bit of a blur. Whereas up here, well, it's still a bit of a blur, but it's a blur from above. And that's better. Blimey, look out. That's got to hurt. The pole and then the horse. Oh, but she's getting up though, look.
Brave woman.
They're very good, these people. But then I guess they should be on the money they're getting.
What are you paying them, as a matter of interest?
They're each on 40 ducats a day, plus victuals and mead.
Is that a lot?
I've no idea. To be honest, I'll just smile and write a cheque at the end. So, anyway, did you bring the atlas?
I did. Here you go.
Thanks.
What are you after in there? Can I help?
Has this got all the countries of the world in it?
Should do. I mean, there might have been a couple of little ones created since it was printed, but it should have all your basics.
France?
France. France would be in there, yes.
Go on then, show me. I can't see for looking. Ah, right.
Any particular bit of France?
The south.
South? Well, we're talking this area here.
Hmm.
It's actually very nice. I've been down a couple of times. You thinking of going?
Me? What for? Have you tried the croissants we get from Waitrose? They melt in your mouth. I have them with Prince Charles's raspberry and lime jam. Handmade in Somerset with the juiciest organic fruit. And if I know Charles, he wouldn't allow it to be sold down there. He hates the French.
We could send some on ahead of time.
Dom, I don't want to go, okay? Jesus.
Sorry.
No, it's my eldest boy.
Sophie?
Yeah. He wants to go off camping down there with a couple of his mates.
Oh, sounds great.
But is it safe, though?
Camping?
No, France. That's why I wanted to have a look at it in the map.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how a map helps, safety-wise. What sort of thing are you worried about, Dave?
Muggers, wildlife, food poisoning, nuclear accidents, AIDS, terrorism, rock falls, drought, floods, car crashes, paedophiles.
Sophie's 22.
He's still my little boy, though.
A lot of these things, they're perfectly natural concerns, Dave, but they're not necessarily rational.
All right. Which of those things do you 100% guarantee isn't going to happen?
Apart from the paedophilia.
You're not a parent, Dom, so I don't think you'll ever understand how deep that fear goes.
Fair enough. But what about the wildlife aspect, for example? What worries you there?
Cougars.
I'm almost sure they're not native to France.
Escape cougars from a zoo.
Dave, your cougars have escaped 3 times in the last month.
Why do you think I worry about it? Sophie nearly lost a leg last time.
The best thing you can do as a dad is make sure he's comfortable and well-equipped. Pack him a little medicine chest.
Some Kendall mint cake.
Yes, that's the sort of thing. Make sure he's got some emergency funds.
You're right, Dom. Throw money at the problem. If he's got enough in his current account for a private jet to get him home, I can sleep easy at night.
Shall I sort it out with the bank?
Please.
How much do you reckon?
I'll tell you what. The accountant put a wodge into Sophie's current account last week to avoid tax. Get that changed into the kind of money that French people use in France, and he'll be all right.
Will do.
And Dom, thanks. You're right, I worry too much. But will you give Mike and Animals a ring and see what's currently at large?
Roger.
Right, now, I've got a battle to watch. Come on, you roundheads! Get in in there, my sons. And you, love. Only another day and a half to go.
I just took a call from the bank manager, Dave. He's on his way down to see us. He says it's urgent.
Urgent?
That's what he said.
He's never been down here. We've always gone up there.
Yes.
I'm a bit worried, to tell you the truth.
I'm sure it's just, you know, a courtesy call.
Do bank managers make urgent courtesy calls?
Of course they do.
I've always said I could give this up tomorrow. All of it. The house, theme park, the WH Smith.
The Gordon Ramsay restaurant.
The zoo.
The light railway.
The log flume.
The helicopters.
I've always said this isn't me. It's just something that happened, by mistake almost. And if I have to go back to a 2-up-2 down in Selly Oak, then so be it. I've always said that, haven't I?
You've always said that, Dave. You've never wavered from the view, and I've always admired you for it.
I never meant it. I couldn't give up a single home cinema. I'd rather end it all than go back to Selly Oak. There must be something we can do. Dear God, help me, Tom. I'm begging you.
It'll be fine, Dave, I promise. Come on, up you get. You know, Mr. Green, to see you down there. Ah, look, here he is now. Mm. Afternoon, Mr. Green, don't often see you down here.
No, but these are somewhat extraordinary circumstances. David, it has been an honour and a privilege to serve as your in-house bank manager, as I hope you know. But I have come to offer my resignation.
Huh. Resignation accepted, Mr. Green. You may stand down. Phew, I thought it might be something serious.
Mr. Green, I'm sure you wouldn't be resigning unless something serious had happened. Might I ask what it could be?
Who gives a stuff? I feel that much better. I might go out and bosh a cavalier.
It has been an extremely difficult few hours, Dominic. The three of us, together with my assistant Dawn, have, during the course of the day, contrived to create an economic circumstance that has very grave implications for the welfare of this country.
Dom, have you seen my what's-it, the whirly thing with the sparky conker on the end?
How? This morning, I received instructions to convert all the money in young Sophie's account into euros.
That's right.
Nice. Wrong era, though, probably.
Unbeknownst to me, but of course it should have been my business to check, that particular account contained the entirety of Mr. Mabbott's available cash. His accountant had advised him to keep it in there after recent contact from the Inland Revenue.
Yeah, that could do a bit of damage.
All of his available cash?
All of it. Tens of billions of pounds. I delegated the task of converting it into euros to Dawn, who regrettably failed to query the transaction with me. The Treasury has interpreted an exchange of this magnitude as a run on the pound, which was devalued at 14:30 this afternoon. This may well result in a change of government.
Good God.
Well, hey, right. Who wants some of this? Oops, mind your head there, Mr. Green. Is it just me, or do cavaliers look exactly like Deep Purple, circus strange kind of woman?
I'm afraid Mr. Mabbott is about to receive some unwelcome publicity. I have already spoken to several gentlemen of the press this afternoon. They seem to take the view that David has very serious charges of treason to answer.
I'll see you later, guys. Oh, and thanks for everything, Mr. Green. Saddle me up a good one, Mike!
Dave! You might want to hang around for this.
Don't stop me now, matey. I'm ready to crack some heads.
Do they know it was Dave who ordered the transaction?
They do indeed, as does the Treasury. The Chancellor of the Exchequer has requested a meeting with David as a matter of some urgency.
Who wants to meet me?
The Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Doesn't he know there's a battle on? Slap a signed photo in the post, Dom, like we normally do. Hey, and maybe a CD or two as well. He sounds important.
She, Dave, yes, she is important. You've not been listening to any of this, have you?
Yes, I have. All right, no.
Are you listening now?
Of course.
Maybe you should unbuckle those ear flaps and take off the helmet. It would be reassuring.
Fair play. Give us a hand, Dom. It's on a bit tight.
No. Here you go.
Oh.
It's not coming. Grab the table, Dave, and spread your legs a bit. Mr. Green, might I ask if you could just get hold of my waist, and when I say pull?
Most certainly.
Get ready to brace, Dave. Okay, Mr. Green, pull. Keep pulling, Mr. Green. Together now. Pull. No, it's not going any further.
Oh, flipping heck. What's that on the floor?
It's just a bit of hair, Dave. Don't worry about it.
Should we pull again?
No, we stinking well shouldn't pull again.
Look, we'll do a bit properly later. At least it's halfway off. And can you hear me properly, right?
Just about, above the pain.
Well, listen up, because this is important.
I'm listening.
The money in Sophie's account, you had it changed into euros, right?
I did.
But all your money was in Sophie's account. So now all your money is in euros.
Well, that's no good, is it? It's Sophie that's going abroad, not me. I don't even like abroad.
Exactly, but the broader issue is when you change that much money all at once, you can potentially destabilise an entire currency.
Simplify it for me, Dom. Remember who you're talking to.
You cause an international financial crisis and the big boys want a word.
I'm not going back to Selly Oak, am I? Tell me I'm not going back to Selly Oak. I can't do it, Dom. They hate me there and I hate them.
Pull yourself together, Dave. One step at a time. And the first step, am I right, Mr. Green, is to go and meet the Chancellor as requested?
Yes.
Do you think it might be all right in the end if we're nice?
I'm sure something can be sorted out.
Okay.
Yes?
I'm getting a grip now.
Good.
I'm sorry. Gather, Dave, gather. Right. We'll meet this Chancellor bird. Good as gold.
That's the spirit.
Where should we do it? Here in the Sky Lounge? Or in my office? What about the snooker room? Do you reckon she likes a bit of snooker?
Dave, all respect, I think the idea is that we go to the Chancellor in Downing Street. Mr. Green?
That would be the general idea, I think, yes.
What, Downing Street in London? You're having a laugh. I'm not going all the way down there. I mean, it might be a crisis and all that, but go to London, pull the other one. Here's what we'll do. Dom, call the Chancellor's people and stick something in the diary for whenever. Then get sanitary to have the log flume cleaned. Mr. Green, be on standby to come to my office with some paperwork, files and stuff, you know, clipboards. Make it look good. Chancellor pitches up. Quick go on the flume. Will she bring a cosy, do you think? Bit of a chinwag, ka-ching, crisis over. Oh, and Dom, can you warn Mum that the Chancellor might be fluming through her sitting room?
Mr. Mabbott, could I draw your attention to the conversation of a few minutes ago, during which I tendered, and you were happy to accept, my resignation?
Yeah, well, consider it unaccepted again. And consider yourself non-resigned. There's money matters going down, Mr. Green, and I want my top man on the job. On the subject of which, Dom, call Kenny Maintenance and get him up here pronto. I need this helmet off before the rest of my head goes numb.
Black, thank you, and no sugar.
You were here very quickly, Chancellor.
Well, those police escorts, they're definitely a help.
I bet. Actually, Dave has a few stories about police escorts. I remember him talking about a particularly fast one to Belgrade Airport one night when the audience got a bit nasty.
Where is Mr. Mabbott, in fact?
Oh, no, he'll be along any moment. I'm sure he's just taking a shower.
Good, because time is of the essence here.
Oh, absolutely. You got it. So, you busy at the moment?
You could say.
Of course, and you did say. is that a fruit and nut boaster?
Oi, oi, how you diddly? You must be the Chancellor, lady.
Oh, thank God. Dave, this is Margaret Hazlitt, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and this is Dave Mabbott, ex-infinite shaman.
Excuse the towel, won't you? Just out of the bath. And I know what you're thinking. Why does this man wear an authentic 17th century soldier's helmet halfway off his head in the bath, of all places? But it's not what you think, and we're working on getting it off, aren't we, Dom?
Indeed we are, trying everything. You've been lying around in the bath. A quick shower, you said.
Well, I would have, wouldn't I? But I couldn't fit under the shower on account of the helmet.
Just as soon as you're ready, gentlemen.
Go on, then. But you'll have to excuse me when Ken gets here.
Let me get straight to the point. This morning, £1 sterling would have bought you 1.2 euros... This afternoon, the value of the pound has declined to 0.75 of a euro. And as I understand it, this is something to do with your family's holiday arrangements.
Young Sophie needed some funny money for a camping trip to France.
And are you in the habit of giving her scores of billions of euros when she goes abroad?
Ah, now, see, straight away, we're off on the wrong foot.
I am sorry to hear that, but I fail to see how.
Okay, riddle me this.
I'm sorry.
A father is off on a bike ride with his son. A lorry hits both of them and they're taken to hospital. The doctor takes one look at the kid and says, I can't operate on him, he's my son.
How can that be?
What does this have to do with anything?
Come on, just answer the question. How can the kid be the doctor's son if his dad has already been knocked off his bike?
I presume the doctor is a woman.
Correct. I think. That's it, isn't it, Dom?
Yes, that's it.
So you're not a complete sexist. You're only a bit sexist. Like half.
I fail to see what sexism has to do with the run on the pound.
Who told you Sophie was my daughter?
You just said, young Sophie. I presumed she was related to you.
Yes, Sophie is my child.
Dave, just tell her.
If she doesn't work it out for herself, she's never going to learn, is she?
You describe Sophie as your child.
Yep.
But Sophie is not your daughter.
Nope.
Your stepdaughter.
Nope.
Your granddaughter.
No, Chuig.
I give up.
Sophie is my son, actually. And he's suffered from that sort of stereotyping all his life.
Right. Can we now move on to the subject in hand? May I ask you why you have allowed Sophie to destroy our currency?
It wasn't Sophie's fault, it was Mr. Green's. Or Dawn's, anyway. You ever come across his assistant Dawn at one of your meetings? Lovely girl, but you wouldn't choose her as your phone a friend, if you know what I'm saying.
As a matter of urgency, I have come here to ask you to convert Sophie's holiday money back into sterling.
Oh, great. So what's he supposed to do if he gets mauled by a cougar and needs a life-saving operation?
I'm not asking you to change it all. If you wanted to leave a couple of million in his current account, then the British economy wouldn't be adversely affected.
Oh, well, fine. Call Mr. Green, Dom, and make sure you talk to him direct, not Dawn.
She leaves early on Tuesdays anyway. Line dancing.
The irony is, of course, that a speculation on this scale will result in an extraordinarily large dividend for the trader in question. Namely, you. But I suppose that was the last thing on your mind.
With all due respect, we take exception to your insinuation.
Is she being cheeky?
She's accusing us of currency speculation.
Our first supposition was that this was the work of George Soros, but he'd never be that malicious.
In English?
She's saying that we saw an opportunity to make some money.
By changing it into euros and back again. Oh dear, you want to get out more, Mrs. Chancellor.
Perhaps I'd feel reassured if you could tell me why it's such a preposterous notion.
Have you ever looked at the commission someone like Thomas Cook charges when you go away? You start changing it backwards and forwards, you lose a fortune.
Mr. Soros seems to think differently.
He's probably got his own booth at Gatwick. Gives himself a discount. Ken!
Oh,
where you been?
I'm sorry. There was a leak in the aquarium. Your hammerhead was gasping.
Any ideas?
About what, Dave?
I'm not wearing this helmet for fun. Well, I was, but now I can't get it off.
Have you tried soap?
I've just started a new bar and I couldn't get it up there.
I think I've got a can of oil in this bag.
Well, look, now I've had reassurances that you will correct this afternoon's glitch in the global economy. Perhaps you gentlemen would excuse me.
Hold on. We might need an extra pair of hands here. If I start wiggling the helmet, can you put the nozzle for the oil up here?
I can do it, Ken.
That's a nice suit you got on there. I mean, you don't want to get that all
look,
oily.
Look, I'm sorry, but I've got a meeting with the German finance minister.
Oh, well, it won't take a minute, blimey. These people, eh? Rush, rush, rush. Haven't you ever heard that poem?
What poem's that, Ken?
Maybe if there's going to be a poetry reading, we could do it later, when the Chancellor's gone.
She'll want to hear this, I'm sure.
What is this life, if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare. No time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep or cows.
That's very true, that.
Lovely, isn't it? It's officially the greatest poem ever written, I'm given to understand.
I can see why. It's very deep, isn't it? Plus it rhymes.
Oh, it's got the lot.
Does the poeter ever answer the question?
How do you mean?
Well, what is this life if full of care? We have no time to stand and stare.
I don't think he does, no.
Oh well.
I wouldn't have thought you of all people needed the question answered. It seems to me you have plenty of time to outstare cows, if that's how you choose to spend the day.
Outstaring cows is not as easy as it sounds, actually. Do you remember, Ken, that afternoon after the...
Where do you want me to put this nozzle?
Oh, just stick it up there.
Go! You've done a nice job of patching up there, Ken. Very nice indeed.
Oh, I'm just glad I happened to be passing when I did. I looked in through the glass and I said to myself, Kenneth, I said, that is not an happy shark, that. Well, you know, I could tell straight away by the panting and the upside-downness.
Mm, very observant of you, Ken.
And that is when I noticed that I was up to my knees in water. BB gun pellet, you reckon, that caused it?
Well, I've confiscated it on the assumption. Sophie's still denying having anything to do with it, though. He's trying to blame it on the battle reenactment people. Musket fire, he claims. They never come in here, not unless it's Spanish Armada week. And even then, they're under strict instruction to go easy and respect the fish.
Ah, it's only right.
So it's pretty clear to me who's responsible. Musket fire, my backside. I wouldn't mind so much if Sophie would just own up to these things when I confronted him with them. It worries me, actually. I mean, any normal kid surely would say, OK, Dad, fair dues, I took a pot shot at your shark. Then he'd apologise, maybe offer to do something to make it up, I don't know, wash the helicopter or something, and we'd move on. And it could all be forgotten. Instead, we have to go through this whole ridiculous denial farrago.
Ah, yeah, you see, but kids are like that sometimes, aren't they? Fundamentally dishonest. It's just a phase.
You'd think he'd be on his best behaviour, though, with this holiday in France that he wants to go on. Now, that was a stupid thing for me to say yes to. It's brought nothing but trouble this holiday, and he hasn't even started packing yet. I mean, when the Treasury got involved, I don't mind telling you, Ken, I was this close to saying, right, that's it, Sophie, you're not going.
Oh, any parent would have felt the same. But the financial meltdown aspect, I mean, that wasn't really Sophie's fault, was it? Specifically.
What do you mean? If he hadn't come asking for euros for this half-cocked camping trip of his, it would never have happened. So, yes, it is his fault. Specifically, him and Mr. Green and Dawn from the bank and... I don't know, I'm all on edge now.
Yeah, I can tell that, Dave. You've gone very red around the helmet.
Yeah, well, having this thing on me head isn't exactly helping.
I'm sorry it didn't work out with the oil.
So am I, the amount you used.
Well, I didn't really reckon on it slipping further on rather than going the other way, did
I? Me neither.
Oh, but on the plus side, you've got the reassurance of knowing that nothing's going rusty under there.
Oh, marvellous tar.
Rusting up is definitely something we'd be looking to avoid at this stage, I feel.
What must that Chancellor of the Exchequer have thought?
Oh, fair play to her, though. She was prepared to roll her sleeves up and get her hands dirty. There's not many in her line of work that you'd automatically say that about.
She rolled her sleeves up a bit too far for my liking. Some of that initial twisting she did, that felt personal to me. Like she had an agenda that was more than just a helmet-removing agenda.
Do you think?
Yes, I do. And when she got her heel under the brim and started stamping like that...
Well, you should have said something.
Said something? I was face down on the carpet in a 17th century soldier's helmet with a can of WD-40 in one ear and a member of the cabinet standing on the other. But I'd like to have heard you say something.
Amazing that it stayed on after all that. I think the doctor was right, though. We need to wait for the bruising to go down before we try anything else.
I didn't like that Chancellor at all, you know.
No.
She was frosty and self-important. Those people, I've noticed it, they go into politics, get elected, and then all of a sudden they start acting like they're running the place.
That's true.
A simple error, and she's all, you shouldn't do this, and you can't possibly do that. And in the best interest of the nation, the other, it's not even her money.
Not even.
It's my money. If I want to change it into euros, why shouldn't I? Change it into anything I like.
That's right, Dave.
You know what, Ken? I'm going to show those people. They think they can come in here and start kicking me in the helmet when they fancy. Well, they can't. I'll teach them. You got your mobile on you?
Here you go.
This'll do it. Messing with me. Yeah, Mr. Green, it's Dave. You sound like I woke you. Oh, I did wake you. Hey, there's nothing like an afternoon nap, is there? Anyway, you know all that money of mine? Yeah, I know. We put it back into pounds, good as gold, just as the Treasury requested. Well, listen, we're taking it out of pounds again and going back into euros. Yes, that's right, euros. And then we're going to count to 100 and turn it back into pounds again. And then we're going to count to 100 and change it into, I don't know, what do they have in Russia? Right, well, some of that. And then we'll count to 100 and go back into pounds again. You with me? Oh, come off it, Mr. Green. It's not that confusing. Look, put Dawn on.
A recap of today's dramatic developments. After the pound was devalued for the seventh time yesterday, inflation is now estimated to be running at 800,000%. This morning, the army were called in to deal with it in the West Midlands when factory workers...
Oh, I'm sick of her moaning. What do you fancy for lunch, Dom? People are saying very good things about the new place that's opened up by the kids' old sandpit.
I think it's closed down.
Closed down already? Bad review somewhere?
No. The soup du jour cost 15,000 quid.
I'd have just had a main course.
Dave, you do know what's going on out there. It's our fault, don't you?
Our fault? That's a funny way of looking at our reenactment of the Battle of Naseby. On a bigger scale than the original, apparently. To be honest, I think some of those battle planners take the mick a little bit.
The reenactment finished days ago.
Did it? So what's going on out there?
Food riots. It's basically our staff versus the private militia.
Food riots. Funnily enough, I was in the Waitrose down the corridor this morning for my golden nuggets, and I was thinking to myself how well stocked it is.
The Waitrose is what they're fighting for control of. At the moment, the staff are trying to trap the private militia in a classic pincer movement. Mm,
interesting. Good work. As long as they avoid the mistakes the Royalists made at Newbury.
If it does work, Dave, there won't be golden nuggets in Waitrose for long.
I'm not eating that muesli again. It doesn't absorb the milk.
Are you sure you want to keep going with the Estonian croon, Dave?
Until Dawn comes up with a funnier currency, I will. Yes. The Estonian croon is my favourite so far, although I grew very fond of the Bolivian Boliviano.
What's wrong with the good old English pound? You could stop all this with one phone call.
I think Dawn's in Canberra Sands this week. Anyway, I've told the Chancellor my terms.
She's a very stubborn woman.
An apology to the nation during the X Factor isn't too much to ask. Right in my ear that nozzle went. Hello. Sophie. How are you, old son? How's it going? Hospital? No. You're kidding me. That's terrible. Here's the funny thing, though, Soph. No, listen. A panther is a cougar. Straight up. It was on the back of my cereal packet this morning. So you have been mauled by a cougar, as per. Huh? I'll ring you right back. Bye. 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 Dom, get Dawn on her mobile. Unless they take the Estonian croon in French private hospitals, we're going back into French money.
The Richest Man in Britain starred Mark Williams as Dave, with Russell Tovey as Dom. Phil Cornwall as Ken the Maintenance Man, Jeff McGiven as Mr. Green the Bank Manager, and Oriane Messina as the Chancellor of the Exchequer. It was written by Nick Hornby and Giles Smith, and the producer was Lucy Armitage.